Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a Drive Jungle FX chain for heavyweight sub-impact. In this one, we're not just trying to make a bass hit sound louder or dirtier. We're building something you can actually use in a drum and bass arrangement. A chain that hits hard, stays controlled, and gives you that pushed forward jungle energy right where the track needs it most. Think last bar tension before the drop, a mid-drop switch-up, a fill into a new section, or a bass stab that answers the break with real physical weight. The big idea here is simple. Indeed, NB, impact comes from contrast and control. If the low end is just huge all the time, it stops feeling huge. So we're going to shape the source, drive it, keep the sub disciplined, and add enough movement and grit to make it translate on proper systems and smaller speakers too. Start by choosing a strong source sample. This matters a lot more than people think. If the source has no useful low end shape, no amount of processing is going to magically turn it into a heavyweight hit. Load a bass stab, sub hit, reese phrase, or a short resampled movement into simpler. For this kind of work, I usually audition the sample in context first, not in solo. That's a really important habit. A bass hit might sound monstrous on its own, but once the kick, snare, and break come back in, it may actually disappear or feel too bloated. So pick the source that works in the track, not the one that just sounds impressive in isolation. In simpler, trim the start so the transient lands cleanly. Remove dead air. Add a tiny fade if needed to avoid clicks. If it's a one-shot, one-shot mode is great. If you want it to behave more like a sampler-style hit, classic mode can work well too. Keep warp off unless you really need tempo correction. The goal is to make the sample tight and usable before any heavy processing begins. If the sample already has messy top end or boxy mud, clean that now. Use simpler's filter or place an EQ8 before the chain. A gentle high pass down around 20 to 30 Hz can remove useless rumble, and a small cut in the 180 to 350 Hz area can clear out some of that cloudy buildup. If there's a nasty click or spike in the upper mids, tame it before you start driving the sound. This is one of those do less later by doing a little now situations. Now we start the core drive stage. Put a saturator after simpler. This is where the bass gets its attitude. For heavyweight DNB, you want saturation to add harmonics, not just wreck the low end. A good starting point is around 3 to 8 dB of drive, with soft clip turned on. Make sure you level match the output, so you're hearing the actual tonal change, not just a louder signal. That's a huge coaching point here. If it only sounds better because it's louder, it's not really better yet. If the source is very sub-heavy, don't overcook it straight away. Let the saturation create some upper harmonics, and let the rest of the chain add the edge. The point is to make the bass more audible and more present without turning the sub into fuzz. Next, shape the tone with EQ8. Use EQ as a problem-solving tool, not as random decoration. If the drive adds unwanted fizz or nasal harshness, clean that up after saturation. If the sample needs a little more chest, a broad boost somewhere around 70 to 110 Hz can help. But be careful not to just pile on low end blindly. A lot of the time, the note reads clearly because of the harmonics, not because the sub is enormous. In other words, make the bass speak before you make it shake. After that, add dynamics control with glue compressor or the standard compressor. This is where you get the hit to feel intentional. You're not trying to flatten it into a brick. You're just tightening the envelope so it lands with the drums instead of smearing across them. Try a moderate attack, somewhere around 10 to 30 milliseconds if you want to preserve the punch, or faster if you want a tighter, more mechanical squeeze. Keep the gain reduction modest, maybe 2 to 5 dB on peaks. For jungle and roller contexts, this step is really about groove. A bass impact should feel like it hits with purpose. If the sample is too loose, shorten the tail before you just hammer it with compression. Often, quick decay gives you more weight than more compression does. Now we get into the FX character. Add auto filter after the compression. This is where the chain starts behaving like a tension device. For a drive jungle FX chain, a low pass or band pass filter is usually the move, with moderate resonance and a little drive if needed. Then automate the cutoff so the bass opens over time. A classic move is to start darker and narrow, then sweep open over one or two bars right before the drop. That gives you a sense of pressure releasing when the drop lands. You can also do the reverse and sweep downward for a descending slam. In darker jungle and DNB, restraint is often more powerful than huge obvious sweeps. A slow, controlled opening is usually more effective than a flashy motion that fights the drums. If you want even more front-end punch, bring in drum bus. This is a really useful Ableton stock device for this kind of work. A little drive can thicken the sound, Transient can make the hit speak more clearly, and a carefully tuned boom can add low-end reinforcement. The key is to keep it controlled. If the sound already has size, you're enhancing impact, not inventing it from nothing. Too much boom and you'll make the bass feel slow. In D&B, slow low-end is usually the enemy. At this point, I want you to think about the type of transient you're after. Is this hit supposed to feel like a thump, a stab, or a growl? That decision should guide how you set the compressor, the drum bus transient, and even the filter resonance. If you know the character you want, the whole chain becomes much easier to tune. Now let's make this more usable in a real mix by turning it into an audio effect rack. Map a few macros. A great set of macro assignments would be drive, filter cutoff, transient feel, output trim, and maybe wet/dry or parallel blend. That way, you can automate the whole impact musically instead of tweaking each device manually every time. And this is where the chain gets really powerful. Build a parallel dirty layer inside the rack. Keep one chain clean and focused on the sub, and another chain dirty and mid-heavy. The clean chain should stay mostly below about 120 Hz and remain centered and controlled. The dirty chain can get much more aggressive. Add a saturator or overdrive. Bandpass it so it lives more in the 120 Hz to 2.5 kHz range, and blend it quietly under the clean layer. This is a very classic D&B move. Clean sub, nasty mids. That balance lets the bass feel huge without wrecking the mix. The listener gets the weight from the clean chain, and the attitude from the dirty chain. If you're making an FX hit, you can push the dirty layer harder. If it's part of a repeated bass phrase, keep it lower so it doesn't become fatiguing. Once the chain feels right, resample it to audio. This is where sampling-based D&B workflow really shines. When you print the processed sound, it becomes a new instrument. You can trim it, fade it, reverse it, slice it, or place it rhythmically against the break. After resampling, edit the audio like a proper drum and bass sample. Tighten the transient. Add tiny fades. Consolidate the best version. Try reversing a copy for a pickup into the drop. Try slicing the hit into a drum rack if you want variations. In jungle, these little resampled movements can become part of the groove itself. A bass stab that lands slightly off the grid or answers the snare with a little swing can feel way more alive than a perfectly rigid loop. Now think arrangement, not just sound design. This chain becomes much more useful when it supports the energy of the track. For example, you could keep the hit filtered and restrained for the first 8 bars, open the filter a little over the next few bars, narrow the band again to create tension, then hit the drop with the full version. That kind of phrase-based movement is what makes D&B feel like it's going somewhere. Another great move is to use the bass impact as a call and response element with the break. Put it after a snare, on the offbeat after a kick, or as a response to a chop drum fill. That creates a conversation between the drums and the bass, which is a huge part of the energy in jungle-informed arrangements. Before you call it done, check mono compatibility with utility. This is non-negotiable for heavy low-end. If the bass falls apart in mono, the stereo field is too wide down low. Keep the true sub centered and mono. If you want width, put it in the higher harmonics or in the parallel dirty layer. That way, the foundation stays solid while the top layer adds size and motion. Also, watch your balance against the kick and snare. If the bass feels massive alone but weak in the full track, that usually means it's not integrated with the drums properly. In D&B, impact is always about relationships. The bass doesn't just need to be huge. It needs to leave space, land in time, and support the movement of the track. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't overdrive the sub itself into mush. Don't widen the low end. Don't over-resonate the filter until it whistles over the drums. Don't compress so hard that you erase the punch. And don't forget the arrangement context. A chain that sounds great as a standalone effect, but doesn't work in the track is not the win we're after. If you want to push this further, try a few advanced variations. You can split the distortion into two milder stages instead of one brutal one. That often sounds cleaner and heavier at the same time. You can also split the chain into sub, body, and edge frequency ranges, then distort each layer differently. That gives you much more control over where the aggression lives. Or try printing a reversed version of the hit and using it as a pickup into the main impact. That little contrast can make the drop feel a lot bigger. One really practical challenge is to build three rendered versions from the same source sample. A clean impact, a driven impact, and a transition impact. Keep the clean one focused and stable, the driven one more aggressive and mid-forward, and the transition one filtered or reversed for movement. Then place them in an 8-bar loop at 174 BPM, and see how they behave in context. Which one reads best on small speakers? Which one makes the snare feel bigger? Which one adds energy without muddying the low end? Those answers will tell you a lot about your chain. So the takeaway is this. Drive the base sample, but keep the sub disciplined. Clean the source first. Shape it with EQ. Add saturation for harmonics. Control the envelope. Add filter movement for tension, and use parallel dirt to keep the low end solid while the mids get nasty. Then resample it and treat it like an instrument. That's how you get heavyweight sub impact in Ableton Live 12 without turning the mix into a swamp. It's clean, it's hard, and it feels like drum and bass.